This week's episode is brought to you by Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield. Critics declare that Andrew Garfield is remarkable and can't be praised enough for his performance as the real-life disability advocate Robin Cavendish. Learn more about this remarkable story and Andrew Garfield's performance at BleecherStreetGuilds.com. Welcome to the Bart Fleming Podcast. I'm Peter Bart.
Mike Fleming.
So, Mike, as the award season ignites into a blast of parties and screenings, the conversation ideally should be focused on the comparative merits of the movies, some of which are damn good movies. But instead, much of the talk is about the decline and fall of Harvey Weinstein, his potential jail time, and also the rumors about deeper financial scandals involving the Weinstein Company. So Harvey's absence, of course, is noticeable on several levels to the community. One, revenues. The caterers, the press agents, everybody who benefits from the ceremonies of the Oscar competition, they're seeing already a bit of a decline. But more important, there's the sense of betrayal. And that the people who come up and talk to me so basically say, how could anyone have behaved so badly and yet kept it all so secret? There have been lots of movies you and I have seen about people who are basically have double characters, lead double lives, but no one suspected that an individual at Hollywood's epicenter could illustrate those weird characteristics.
You could call him a Jekyll and Hyde, I suppose, but but he was always gruff, and he sort of wore that screamer, tough guy, bully mystique on his sleeve. So some of this stuff, it can't be a surprise. What he did after Hours, I was pretty shocked, but I have to say I was just as shocked at the allegations leveled at Kevin Spacey and the allegations leveled at Brett Ratner. This is the downside of covering Hollywood, but physically not being in this town, I suppose. But these guys are never going to show us those sides of themselves. They're just not.
I think the Brett Ratner situation has even more impact at the company, at the corporate level, because he, after all, his company supplied one-third of the financing for most of Warner Brothers Pictures. And he was intimately involved in the development process of many of those pictures. He lived in a famous party house originally, that of Alan Carr, who was quite a showman. And Brett threw a lot of great parties. He also entertained a lot of important filmmakers and actors and writers. But he was the center of the commerce, basically, of Warner Brothers for the last few years. And hence, his fall from grace under these allegations, all of which he's fighting, of course, they're allegations. But it did have an impact on the business side of the community.
Well, but remember, I think it's about 25% of the Warner Brothers slate that Rat Pack finances, unless there are pre-existing deals that ratcheted that percentage down. So it was more, it was a bit of not a passive investment, but it was not like he was actually developing these movies. The name was on them as executive producer, and the name will be stripped off those movies as executive producer. And I'm not sure that even the Rat Pack logo finds its way on to these movies. But again, you know, the allegations that were leveled were very seriously. And what is the most shocking is how quickly Brett was basically kind of ostracized by the studio. He no longer has offices on the lot, and over and out in about a day.
And again, you and I have moved about town at different functions and ceremonies the last few days. Aren't you amazed at the fact that that what should be interesting and insightful conversations about the films with and questions asked for filmmakers. I mean, what happens so our audience understands is that there are a series of screenings and cocktail parties where directors and stars get a chance to talk about their movies and respond to questions. And the dialogues are very interesting, really. And the questions can be rather insightful. But I find that everything is so distracted now that instead of asking about, let's say, with the two new directors who are putting their movies up for Greta Gerwig, who made Lady Bird, and Aaron Sorkin, and who directed Molly's Game. So we have two new directors who made really interesting quality films. And the questions being put to them night after night are not about the films and why they made them, but they're about what they think of the moral standards of Hollywood. It's all very distracting, I find.
Well, I mean, Aaron Sorkin has had his own personal troubles that have been well documented, you know, in his life and that he's overcome. But you say that they're being asked this publicly, but they're also talking to each other privately, and they are all obsessed. This dominates the topic of conversation, and everybody's wondering how far does it go, how far the alpha male cultures of talent agencies get exposed, how many people will come out of the woodwork, how high of the level of these executives will be exposed and possibly brought down. It is it's a period that I don't think I've ever seen before. But ultimately, I think you could probably say that there's a tidal wave that is washing over Hollywood right now. But the town might be better for it, because abusive behavior in any way, shape, or form is probably not going to be tolerated. And the kind of stuff that Harvey Weinstein is being accused of that happened for decades is just, it's just remarkable that it stayed under the radar for as long as it did. And it's wrong. Now, there are some people who tell me that that some of the byproduct of this is that people who did come forward are going to have trouble, moving forward with their careers. We have yet to see how that is going to manifest itself. And there's also people who say that that they might be reticent, that it might affect the kind of hiring that happens on sets, just to avoid a situation that could lead to some sort of a settlement and a demise. So this is uncharted territory. But I think ultimately this will be a purifying thing, much the way that Oscar So White turned out to be a good thing, in the way that the Academy, in an emergency fashion, tried to change the complexion of the voting body.
Well, I wish I could share your optimism. See, my concern is this, that the whole alpha male syndrome isn't just about the entertainment business. It pervades, it's pervasive in on Wall Street, in government, in so many sectors of society. I mean, Donald Trump's presence as president typifies this, the alpha male syndrome, the bully, the loudmouth. And he is going to be around a while, despite movements for impeachment. Now, what that embodies to me is the fact that so much of our society, different sectors of society, are caught up in this syndrome. So one can look at Hollywood and say, well, things are going to change. Will they change? I mean, to me, that sort of personality, the loudmouth, the bully, the mega alpha male sort of guy, people with whom Donald Trump, when he was a producer, was very much at home, that personality is so dominant in this sector of our society, if not so many others, that I'm not sure it's going to go away quite as smoothly as many are predicting.
Well, no, but remember when the Sony hack happened, people became kinder in their emails. They'll do what they have to do just from a survival instinct. But the you know, this is going to ricochet to the top of and it already has to corporations and talent agencies, which might be looking to go public. And here we have the AT&T Warner Brothers situation, and there's so all that stuff is going to be scrutinized hard. It is a very interesting time. But you mentioned Trump, and Trump has long been at odds with both the liberal media and also with liberal Hollywood. And so the problem is, there was that awful tape with Trump and Billy Bush. However, you look at what's happened in Hollywood, and there were opportunities to maybe make meaningful statements in the areas of gun control and rational gun control, and right now Hollywood doesn't have really the reputation of Hollywood is has taken a humongous hit, and so some of this stuff is. Some of this stuff is really damaging. There's a lot of collateral damage going on right now with television series canceled, with movies put in limbo, like All the Money in the World, a movie that Ridley Scott at age 80 dropped everything to direct. And unfortunately for him, Kevin Spacey is playing J. Paul Getty. I mean, there are people who have done nothing to deserve this, who are gonna hard pressed to, their jobs that are gonna be lost. This is a seismic situation.
This week's episode is brought to you by Breathe, starring Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy. Critics rave that Andrew Garfield and Claire Foy deliver two of the year's best performances. Garfield is brilliant, and Foy is a true force of nature. Discover more at BleecherStreetGills.com. So on a lighter note, this is the time of year, though, where the actors and the directors do present themselves to the Oscar voters and to others in the community and talk about their films and answer questions. And Mike, I'm sure you and I both heard some amusing anecdotes that some of the actors do talk about in these sort of more quieter off the record settings. I was amused, for example, that James Franco, who when he putting together the Disaster Artist, he went to the real life character who is the basis of that movie, and he wanted to buy the life rights because Jimmy Franco wanted to play that character. So he goes to him and he says, "I want to buy the Disaster Artist. I want to buy your life rights. I want to play this character." So the real life character looks at him and says, "But I wanted Johnny Depp. I didn't want you." So Jimmy Franco confesses that he had to bury his ego and pitch himself for the part. Now, that's the kind of dialogue that comes out. I'm sure you've heard similar sort of accounts of people who sort of confessed a little behind the scenes elements in putting their pictures together.
Well, the highlight for me for our Contenders event was interacting in the green room with filmmakers and seeing Denis Villeneuve and Guillermo del Toro sort of bond over their mutual admiration. Same thing with Catherine Bigelow and Patty Jenkins from Wonder Woman, and they were suddenly, they got together and sort of went over in a corner, and they were just talking about what they liked about each other's work. And I had Jordan Peele there, and he met Sean Baker of the Florida Project, and he said to me, "I've met four of my heroes in 30 minutes here." And that this was a nice antidote to the toxic swamp that we've been wading through in Hollywood for the past few weeks. But
so that's the bright side of Oscar season, that it is a community of artists, and this does provide a setting for them to get together and actually get to know each other, and they love it.
Well, they do, and you know, and one of the panels that I conducted was Wind River, and that was a movie that was released by the Weinstein Company, and it's a thriller, but it has a very potent point about the exploitation of indigenous women on reservations, and then for them to have a charmed run, to win a big prize at Cannes, and to be looked at as a viable Oscar film, and then suddenly the Harvey Weinstein thing hits. They actually, basically Taylor Sheridan told me that he went to the Weinstein Company, David Glasser, and he said, look, I need you to make a deal that you're going to get nothing out of, but you are going to make the deal because it's the right thing. And basically, they stripped off the any mention or remnant of Harvey Weinstein and the Weinstein Company, and basically, and any money that would have gone to them is going to go to a charity. And basically, Taylor said, if you don't do this, I'm going to pull my name off the movie. It will be an Alan Smithy film, and I will publicly tell people not to see this movie. He said, if somebody's going to kill my movie, it's going to be me. And so, he said that David Glasser was a bit of a mensch because he agreed to it, and now they got that movie back, and the Oscar campaign is going to be financed by the Native American tribes that help fund the movie, and and that was all part of that. So the Harvey stuff is never really far from your grasp, no matter where you are or who you're talking to.
So a lot is going on in town, both above the surface and beneath the surface. And I'm glad we had a chance to exchange views about all this.
Me too.
See you soon, Mike.
Thank you very much.